The Holy Gospel for Christmas Day is John chapter 1. This morning we focus on verses 1 to 4. En arche ein hologos, kai hologos ein proston theon, kai theon ein hologos, which means in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to say, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And this is the gospel of our Lord. The event of the conception and birth of Jesus Christ, as you know, is not merely the birth of a human child, but the entry of God, the Son of God, into his own creation. In eternity, the triune God shared all things person to person, most especially the glory of God. This is confessed by Jesus in his great high priestly prayer in John 17 when he talks about this way, the glory I had with you, Father, before the world began. His eternal existence, his everlasting love, his great intention was always to bring beings, you and me, into a heavenly home to live with him forever. And all of that was on his heart and in his mind from before the beginning. And so let's go back to that event. There was not yet any heaven. There was only God. And before the first word was even spoken by God, before the world was brought into being as a, in the beginning, a featureless sphere of water, before there ever was solid ground or stone or a single element or light to help us to reckon time, there was God. I wonder, as I have for all of my ministry, whether or not the Lord explains what it was like to exist in infinity when he explains his name to Moses by saying, I am. That was the existence of God apart from time, apart from any reference that would help you and I understand what it was like. There was no possibility for any imperfection in that infinite, eternal now of the state of being of our Lord. And God is love. And so in that infinity, God also loved you. Please be selfish or self-centered for this whole sermon, if you don't mind. Think of Christ in relation to you, not the world. Yes, it's in relation to the world, but we're going to think about this in terms of God and you personally. Because everything that has happened, happened because God loved you and planned for you and a place for you to be with him in heaven, the heaven he had not yet created in eternity. And so God spoke and the world came into being with light. And there was evening and morning one day. And the next day he spoke again. And there was a perfect division of water from water as God put above the sphere of water, another sphere that is the sky. And he fastened it into its perfect ideal place again with you in mind. And there was evening and morning. A second day. The third day came and he spoke again, and this time drew the land up out of the sea. Once again, with you in mind, a place for you, my son, my daughter, to stand and live and thrive and laugh and praise. On day four, he brought forth the sun, moon, and stars, but there had already been light, his light, shining on his creation. On day five, he began to fill the places and the spaces with creatures. First on day five, flyers and swimmers, birds and fish, and on day six, all of the animals, and finally, your ancestors and mine. That first married couple, Adam and Eve. But then, how long did it take? And sin came into the world through the devil and his temptation of our first parents. But God still had you in mind. His plan was to send his son into the world to heal the creation of the sickness of sin. And now we have a question that might be asked by a child, a brilliant question. Why the Son? Why not the Father? Why not the Holy Spirit? Why did the Son become the one who took on our flesh? Well, John answers the question here in this text. It's because through the Son that all things were made. Yes, all three persons of the Holy Trinity were involved in the creation, but the Father used the Son to do the work of creating the way, I suppose, a man might use a spade to dig into the earth. But since the Son made all things, without him, nothing was made that has been made. And it was not only fitting, but necessary that the Maker would himself be the remaker, and so that what had been corrupted would be reformed by the hands of the one who had formed it in the first place. And also we should probably think about this in terms of the restoration of the image of God, which was lost in the fall. Mankind was created in the image of God according to Genesis 1:27, but that was lost. And after the fall, each of us is created in the image, is brought to life in the image of our parents, as Genesis 5 tells us again and again and again and again, pounding the point home, in the image of his parents, not of God. But the Bible tells us that when faith is created in us, it is the putting on of the new self. I'm quoting Ephesians 4. The putting on of the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, that is the restored image of God. Although our sinful human nature remains on us until our life ends in death, but our rebirth is the rebirth of faith. Faith in the Son of God. He is the restorer and the sacrifice. He is our Savior. Consider what he gave up to become one of us. In eternity and throughout the Old Testament, he enjoyed the existence of pure spirit that Father and Holy Spirit still enjoy now. He appeared wherever it suited him and whenever it suited him, sometimes as the angel of the Lord, or sometimes perhaps walking unseen if he's desired among his creation in the deeps of the sea, or winging through the sky with angels and birds, or however he came. But deathless he was, impervious to pain or imperfection or grief, set apart from enduring cold or fatigue, unable to become weak or to be subject to punishment or the foul reek of human existence or the foul presence of unbelievers who cannot possibly approach him in heaven any more than an insect could approach a flame of fire and hope to land upon it and survive. But to rescue us, he became one of us. And this was more than a matter of a man putting on a sweater that he might take off again later, because notice how the Bible loves to talk about the incarnation of Christ in the flesh, in the present tense, or in a special tense in Greek that proves the truth of a matter. And for example, Paul teaches us in Colossians 2, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. He began to do this at his conception, so that we are overwhelmed to acknowledge that the immense vastness and infinity of the Son of God entered into the single egg of a virgin girl, fertilizing it with his presence, with his being, and therefore apart from the involvement of a human father. And there was true God and true man, Christ, our Lord. Only by this miracle could he be born without the stain of sin. And that's exactly what happened, as we're told in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. But now he did not cover himself up with human form like a couple of children playing dress up. But as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. So now with beating heart and seeing eyes and hearing ears and breathing nostrils and singing voice, Christ has become man and remains man. We come now to the fourth and final verse of our text, and we are taught, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Life was given to all creation through God's only Son, and life is given again when we put our faith in him. The devil tore away all that was good, and even our faith, as he himself fell in his pride and dissatisfaction with his nearly supreme place in the heavens. Being only one or two steps from the top did not satisfy Satan, and he desired what would never have occurred to a human being, but he wanted more. And so God had to throw him down. And as he fell, Satan saw, as he fell past even we human, puny human beings, then it entered into his mind to ruin every human life and the world and all of the universe. And so he upended and stained and scarred everything beautiful and good. And he has set his putrid stink throughout the universe, even in the worlds that we have begun to explore in our solar system, apart from our world, where there is rust and decay and ruin, even on Venus and Mars. You and I cannot lift a finger without the sad stain of sin and the leanings of our lives. Moses tells us all of our inclinations are always evil, all the time. And only those with faith in Christ are able to approach pleasing God. And by the grace of God, we have been rescued from the wreckage of sin. This is why he came. The very first thing, remember, that was brought forth by God in the creation was light. And here we learn that the true light is life in Christ. Not light by the sun or reflected by the moon or even dimly proclaimed by the stars, which were not made on the first day of creation, nor the second, nor the third, not until the second half. But this is how we see God's will, God's works, God's way. With life in Christ, faith in Christ. Without life in Christ, there is only death forever. But through Christ, we are brought into the wide and welcoming halls of heaven, where valleys and hills stretch out into the horizon, where the tree of life gives a different fruit in every month and season of the year, where the very leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. Every part of heaven is for your good, and it will never change. There is no part of heaven, God's eternal paradise, that is not beneficial to every single one of us. Every detail is a proclamation of God's glory and the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. It would not surprise me if the very distance between doors and windows, floors and ceilings, give us this same impression of the glory and grace of God. The kneeling beasts and the winging, singing angels bringing the saints home to glory is for our benefit and our everlasting praise of God in the choir that will be even as beautiful and maybe even a little more so than our choir today. This is what we were made for in the first place. This is why God's Son gave us life. Why, when it was necessary, he entered the creation to give us life once again. For all of the beautiful, fresh spring and summer of forever was made by God with you in mind. From the very thought of your heavenly Father in eternity. And that is why Christ became incarnate, taking on your flesh to rescue you. And the peace of God that transcends our understanding guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If you know it, please join me in a familiar stewardship prayer. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.